I think we should start this week. You've got a little bit of fame this week, don't you? You were mentioned in some headline titles. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Oh yeah, sure. It was quite a surprise, actually. I was not expecting it. I was mentioned in a Forbes article about Disneyland Paris. It's a great article as well. They pretty much specify everything that's happened with those secret taxes Disneyland Paris has been paying the Walt Disney Company since it was created in 1992.
So it turns out it's quite a lot of money.
Yeah, a lot more than I was expecting, actually. There's this hidden tax that Disneyland Paris has been paying, the Walt Disney Company. It's both royalties and management and licensing fees, which after the 30 years of the resort, account for about 1.6 billion euros.
Wow.
A lot of money.
That's a lot. Still not enough to make a profit, though, is it? Like, overall, it's still not a profit, is it?
I don't know, actually, because, the banks have forgiven Disney's debt in the past. There's been a lot of stuff happened, so the shareholders, all that stuff. To be honest, in the last couple of years, since Disney's the takeover of the resort in 2017, I believe, or 16, I'm not sure, I think they pretty much made a profit since then. Just looking at these numbers, last year they made 118 million euros from these fees alone. If you put the 47, I believe, or 57 million they originally said they made from the resort, that's quite a lot of money. That's almost $200 million. For Disneyland Paris, that's a lot of money.
Yeah. And certainly, it's not because they weren't investing. Certainly, it's probably one of the heavier years of Disneyland Paris investment. Project Sparkle, the Walt Disney Studios expansion, to be showing a profit is certainly something that sticks out, especially when, the resort is apparently cash-strapped.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Avengers Campus always opened last year, which I believe had something to do with the whole profit, but mostly I believe the prices which have been getting higher and higher, that's also been one of the bigger reasons, I believe. So
now the next thing we need to take into consideration, though, is what does that actually mean for Disneyland Paris? So if Disneyland Paris is suddenly making money, what can we expect to see in the future? Now, usefully, I don't even need to do any work here, because you're going to tell us you've done a video on What If. Again, one of your most successful videos. Tell us about it.
That's true. So two weeks ago, I made a video about the What If Disneyland Paris or Hero Disneyland had been a success, which was very well received. I really enjoyed making it as well. There's a lot. There's a lot of stuff that would have happened, from new attractions in the Disneyland Park to the Walt Disney Studios not being created, but Disney MGM Studios Europe, to a third park based on the cancelled Westcott for California. So there's a lot.
There was two things that really stuck out to me. Number one was the water park, because I think I think Universal have just stole that. Volcano Bay. If you want to know what the water park at Disneyland Paris was going to be, you just really need to go and look at a map of Volcano Bay, and then you absolutely know what it was going to be.
It was going to be called Lava Lagoon, and it was this mix of an indoor and outdoor water park. It was just perfect for Paris, to be honest. But what's funny, you mentioned, what's the name of the Volcano Bay? You mentioned Volcano Bay and how it compares to this cancelled water park. What's funny is that, the lead Imagineer on that project ended up working for Universal. And he was the lead creative person behind Volcano Bay, so it makes
this
sense.
Man
to be
really
honest.
Just this man or woman really just wanting to open a volcano themed water park. There was it didn't really matter who was bankrolling it; they were just happy to be doing that, I suppose.
Yeah, that's completely true. I believe his name is Thierry Coop. I'm not sure.
Well, that's him being flung under the bus. if Disney and Universal didn't know who he was now, we've got Bernardo here's hunting him out. Now, the next thing I wanted to throw out was you covered Westcott. Do you want to, just because the podcast, let's not assume everybody's seen your video, although more people see your video than the podcast, but what was the theme behind Westcott? What was the plan there?
Yeah, sure. So Westcott was the second theme park that was going to be built in Disneyland in California. It was pretty much the next level Epcot Center. You would have the two main zones, you know, the World Showcase and Future World. But it would just completely be a new experience compared to Epcot. It would just pretty much upgrade the guest experience. You'd have a massive Spaceship Earth, and just in the World Showcase, you wouldn't have different countries. You'd have areas of the world. So you'd have
continents rather than countries.
Continents. Yeah, you would have Asia, Europe, the Americas, and Africa. So unfortunately, it never came to fruition in, well, neither California nor Paris, but it was going to be built as a third park here in Paris.
The one thing that's kind of strange about it is a lot of people say Europeans are a little bit more travelled, and certainly Europe is, you know, I don't know in precise geography, but certainly Europe and America are very similar sizes. North America is similar size. I say that without any geographical knowledge that backs me up on that, but certainly, there probably, I can't imagine there's very many German tourists are coming to France to see Germany in you know, Francecott or Pariscott or whatever it's called. And certainly, I don't think that would be as novel as they think. But I think if we'd done it on continents, you certainly have a lot more variety, and it allows a lot more mashups that maybe don't exist in real life, but could exist in this virtual space. So I think.
Exactly.
I think that's very interesting that it was coming.
Yeah, it would pretty much fit the Paris resort very well.
And we also know where it was going to get built. We also know, I mean, it shouldn't get built where they're going to build it, but it was going to be built up across the road from the Sequoia Lodge. There's a parcel of land up there.
Yeah, behind the water park, a new resort hotel, there would be Westcott. And of course, linking the whole resort, the infamous monorail would also be present, which is something I would really love to have in Paris.
No, the problem is, I mean, Paris has an option. Paris has an option to not need any of that. You could build the third park in the car park. And then you could walk between the entrance to all three. I don't know why that's never taken seriously as an option, because it seems quite a good idea on the face of, like, not needing monorails and not needing skyliners and not needing, you know.
That's true, I don't think it would make more sense if that plan had become a reality, because you'd have that whole new European-themed hotel area. So with that, the resort would just be much bigger. And spreading the theme parks around, I think, would make more sense, to be honest.
Well, I suppose it's in conjunction with the fact that Walt Disney Studios was always built. One of the big costs when you start a new park is you need an awful lot of back of house and you know, non-shared infrastructure. So there's certainly elements to run a theme park that the back-of-house infrastructure. And Walt Disney Studios was always designed cheaply, as we know, and we covered in the last podcast.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons that it was built right next door to Disneyland Paris, the front door, was back because you could share infrastructure. Some of the back-of-house is shared between Walt Disney Studios and DLP, the Magic Kingdom park.
Yeah, for sure.
So that leads us on. We had a bit of speculation as well, and I think we've seen from Jim Shull, there's a little bit of speculation online just now that, you know, Disneyland Paris is doing very well, and certainly It has a plan and it has space as expansion pads for both the main park and the studios park. We've covered to death on this podcast, and we've covered to death on Discord, the idea of the Star Wars expansion that might be coming to Disneyland Paris. And we've covered to death the various lands we might get in Walt Disney Studios. I think it's all but now confirmed that the stunt show, the BMX stunt show, is now Alice in Wonderland. That's fairly confirmed now, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I'm still trying to wrap my mind about it. But I'm hopeful that it would be.
I'm always hopeful that everything we get is going to be good. It just seems a really odd addition. Here's Alice in Wonderland right next to the Avengers campus. Alice is now an Avenger. Don't quite get it, but that's what we're going with. So we've moved on from that, and I've started to see a spike in rumours, and I should say these are rumours and speculations from people. Disney have certainly said nothing of the sort. I'm starting to see rumours of a fifth gate in Orlando. And I don't know if that's just because certain people are very, very upset that Disneyland Paris is certainly getting all these expansions, and then Disneyland in California is also, you know, we've covered the expansions that they're getting there in their future projects.
Yeah, Disneyland Forward. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of Orlando people a bit peeved now that there doesn't seem to be too much on the horizon for Walt Disney World. So I've started to see the rumours of that fifth park. They seem to be circulating online now, which...
As I've said previously, I do think that's a bit more of wishful thinking, more than rumors, like actual rumors.
But I think there will be a fifth park, but I think it won't be in the sense of a theme park. Like, think of it like being Discovery Cove to SeaWorld. Like, I think it's going to be some sort of premium park. I don't think it's going to be a theme park how we imagine it. I could be wrong here, but I think it's going to be something different.
That's interesting, actually.
That said, everything premium they've ever done seems to fail. So the space restaurant isn't doing so well. You can still get reservations for that. The Galaxy Star Cruiser is now cancelled and is doing its last voyages. So, yeah, I'm not too sure. One thing I did see. So I'm going to Orlando at the end of August. And one of the things I seen was we were looking at, like, what was it we were booking? We booked Rodeo Barbecue, which, if anybody knows, like, Woody's Roundup Rodeo Barbecue, or whatever the hell it's called, it's got too many names.
Oh, yeah, the new restaurant in Toy Story, yeah.
So we've got a reservation there, which wasn't actually as hard to get as I thought it was going to be. So we got the reservation for there. One of the questions I do have is, it seems to be, you know, it puts itself as a table service sort of thing, but I don't think it is. It's more like a family style, not a buffet, but one serving buffet, if that makes sense. They bring it to your table and you just get it. The one question I do have, though, is can you change some of the meats that are on the platter? Because, you know, I was looking at it, I was like, oh God, I don't want to eat some of that stuff. So I'd love to know if you can substitute things. So if anybody knows that, please drop a comment, because that would be wonderful to know. But a lot of the premium restaurants are not filling up now. A lot of the, you know, their premium hotel didn't work out too well. One of the things they're offering while we were booking that restaurant, this was my original point, sorry for going on a tangent, was that you can do a dessert party now on the Seven Seas Lagoon. And you can sit now.
Really?
You can do a dessert party, and I think it's 114 or 140. That number rings a bell. 140 or 114. And you can go on a boat, and you can watch the fireworks, obviously, with the music played for you, and you can eat desserts. And it's got a little video online and stuff. And it looks really good. Don't get me wrong, it looks really good. But I thought it was going to be like, you know, one of the little boats that go around the Seven Seas Lagoon. You know, the little, like, I don't know, the ones that look as though they hold like 10 or 15, maybe 20 people.
Yeah.
No. This is held on the general, like, steamer, the paddle steamer that takes you to the park.
Oh,
like,
really? From the parking lot to the Magic Kingdom? Oh, wow.
Yeah. So they've obviously got three of them. So two of them must just keep working, or one of them just keeps working away, and then two of them sort of sit to the side and watch the fireworks. They put little tables out for you to... So,
Oh, well.
it looks really good, but it's one of those really expensive things that kind of... I mean, are you going to eat 100... I need to check the price. Somebody's going to have to tell me the price, but it's like 140... Let's say it's 114 at best. 100, are you honestly going to eat $114 worth of desserts? I mean, could you? I mean, you would have to not eat all day just to try and get your money's worth, I'd think.
But is it like a buffet, or just is it? Like...
Yeah, it's a dessert buffet. It's a dessert.
Oh, okay, well,
you know, I think it includes one alcoholic drink as well, which I have a theory is probably just a glass of champagne. But I thought that was quite funny. They've got the little dessert party. Very expensive. But again, these are not fully booked. So it tells us that Disney is not... its premium offerings are not doing as well as perhaps like. And that's probably why we've seen the resumption of annual passes. And the Disney dining plan is now back in Orlando.
That's true. Like a couple of weeks ago. Yeah.
So I think it's probably premature to be talking Fifth Parks when they can't fill the current one.
Oh, and have you seen the, you know, a couple of days ago was the 4th of July. Did you see the wait times? They were ridiculous. There was nobody in the parks.
Really?
Crazy. Yes.
Where are the wait times?
Let me see. I think WDW News Today, they covered that on... I mean, they cover everything. So
yeah, they're better staffed than my local newspaper. Just in the background while Bernardo's looking it up, guys, one of the interesting things that we're seeing is America economically is doing quite well compared to most of the world. So there's a bit of currency squeeze on just now. And I think obviously double-digit inflation's hit a good number of people, so there's a lot less travellers going to Disney. So Disney kind of has to be competitive. It's a real worry, I'd think, for Epic Universe as well just now, that they're about to open this brand new park. Will there be enough people, and will there be enough money to kind of throw into the parks to make it work? So a lot of money. A lot of money has been spent in Orlando. And I think this is probably going to be one of the times when the budgets get reeled in a bit. One thing I should say, though, one thing that we should probably identify is that Disney Plus is not doing as well as they had hoped, and the Disney movies are not doing as well as Disney had hoped. I think there's some rumour that, like, Indiana Jones won't even make back its budget. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if we get in that random situation, Disney are going to be looking for things that do turn profit, and as we know,
the parks always turn profit.
So it's a safe investment. What have you found on wait times? Here we go.
I have the wait here, yeah. So this was Blog Mickey, actually, and was it the middle of the day? So in studios, you've got Toy Story Mania with 20 minutes, Tower of Terror with 20 minutes, Rise of the Resistance with 30 minutes of wait time. Rise of the Resistance, 30 minutes in the middle of the day. Yeah. And then in Epcot, you have Soarin' with 20 minutes. Mission Space, 20 minutes. Remy's, okay, 65 minutes, but come on, it's a new ride. And then, obviously, Animal Kingdom, the Safaris, 15 minutes. Avatar, 70, okay, oof. But still, I saw one of people...
Avatar is probably down, it always is.
Yeah, probably because of Genie Plus problems and stuff like that. But it was, I think I saw it was the slowest 4th of July in the last 10 years in Disney World.
That doesn't surprise me, because if you tell everybody it's going to be rammed, it's going to be busy, it's going to be busy, it's going to be busy, some people eventually do just stay home.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
It was also a thunderstorm. It's worth noting that Orlando on the 4th of July was...
Oh, really?
Hard, you know.
I didn't see that.
It was, they actually emptied Disney Springs.
Really?
Yeah. They basically pushed a bunch of people out. So Orlando, O-Town, was under a lot of water. And certainly was having a thunderstorm and heavy rain and wind. So you know, that may have had a little bit to do with it. We don't always take that into consideration, I guess. I only know that because my parents were there. They were physically out over the 4th of July last week. So they told me that they were at Disney Springs during the day and said that there was, you know, a lot of inclement weather.
Yeah.
But, you know, the general point is right. It's not as busy. It's genuinely not as busy as it used to be. And, you know, Disney have still got a few more tricks they can play. They can certainly do better hotel deals, I think, to try and coax some more tourists in.
Packages, yeah.
Yeah, they have a lot they could do. So
yeah, it's not like Walt Disney World isn't turning a profit, okay?
Yeah, it's
for a long time.
Yeah, it's definitely going to get its money in. So we've seen a bit more from Epic Universe as well. I don't know if you've been watching. Some of the roller coaster tracks have been bio-reconstructed.
They look absolutely amazing.
They do, don't they?
Yes. I'm so thrilled for Epic Universe.
I really hope I forget the word. What is it? It's like competition roller coasters. You know, the dueling coaster, that's it. I really hope the dueling coaster goes well, because they had the dueling coasters at Islands Adventure and obviously took them out for Hagrid's. But the truth is, like, a dueling coaster is just fantastic. Like, the experience is second to nothing. And they look so twisty and turny, and, you know, I don't think they're going for the tallest drop. I think they're going for the most, you know, like Velocicoaster. They're going for probably the better experience.
So. No, they look absolutely amazing. The dueling coasters are, I mean, just amazing. I don't have any other word.
So what do you think is next for Disney in Orlando?
Oof. I'm not sure, actually. Because with Epic Universe, I think that Disney's pretty much waiting to see how Epic Universe turns out and how it will affect them. Because if you see in a pipeline for the next couple of years, I believe the only new things is the completion of Epcot, you know, the center that's a mess for the past 4 years.
Yep, and then the Beyond Thunder Mountain.
Yeah, but that's just blue sky. There's not even any rides. So actual rides, actual projects that we have, we only have Tiana's Bayou Adventure and Epcot. So that's pretty sad of a lineup for the next, I don't know how many years.
Given that there are 4 theme parks, it's dire. Like, it's not very exciting.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure what Disney are waiting for. Well, of course. That said, one of the other tricks you could do is if you waited for Epic Universe, you could, of course... Oh, there's a good point in the chat, actually. Mickey Mouse, of all names, as Em said, what about the Animal Kingdom, Dinoland, to Moana and Zootopia? Yeah, that's pretty much... That's true. That is coming.
That is coming, but it was also said or announced during the Blue Sky Idea session that Josh D'Amaro had on the D23 Expo. So while I believe that between that and the Beyond Thunder, Big Thunder Mountain expansions, I do think that Animal Kingdom will be getting that first, just because of how developed the concepts looked. But even so, they didn't announce it. They just said, what if we built a Moana ride with Zootopia in Animal Kingdom? What if you went beyond Big Thunder Mountain? So it's not really an announcement, you know?
But I think one of the other...
By Mickey.
I think one of the other things, though, is there's no capital in announcing small projects just now. There's nothing that they gain by saying we're going to build one or two extra attractions versus Epic Universe. They're going to get drowned out. So it might be that they're waiting for Epic Universe to open so they can talk about the next 10 years of Disney.
Yeah, that's true. But, I mean, Epic Universe is opening in 2035, so it's just around the corner. So... Disney could definitely be waiting to see how it turns out and how it affects their business, their hotels, because Epic Universe is also getting a bunch of new hotels. So, yeah, I do agree with you.
The other thing is Bob Iger didn't come back Bob Iger did not come back to kind of steady the ship only. He came back to do a job. And he's obviously got some plans that he wants to announce. And, you know, he's a showman. So he'll know that showing your cards too early is not a good thing.
Yeah, that's true. So, I saw some tweets, some rumors that... actually, I think it was today that Bob Iger might be looking into extending his contract. So I think
that
we
won't
can
be
expect. Yeah, I think we can expect at least a couple more years from Iger. I don't know what will come from them, but I mean, if he doesn't want to leave Disney yet, I might be willing to stay with him for a bit longer.
The other thing is there's nobody stepped up. There's no heir apparent. There's no successor in the wing. There's nobody standing there and waiting.
Yeah. It's, you know, I don't know. Because the big thing that he was going to do when he came back supposedly was to find the next CEO. A better CEO than, what was it? Chapek. And as Mickey said in the chat, I don't think Damaro will be a great choice for a CEO. And I agree, by the way. He's not a very creative person from the looks of it. He's a showman, just like Iger, but not a very creative person. And I think that Disney really needs a big creative person in charge right now. Or maybe a duo like you had with Walt and Roy, or with Eisner and Wells. I think that duo kind of situation would be really, really, really great for Disney right now.
And there was the rumor that Disney was going to get bought. Which
by
there's
who?
Only, well, there's only really Apple. Nobody else has the money.
Yeah, I don't really like that.
I don't put a lot of stock in it either, and I think Disney needs to be its own company. I don't think Apple is terribly interested in consumer, you know, endpoints. And I know they've got Apple TV Plus, but I can't see them being too interested in being the juggernaut of the entertainment world.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Apple and Disney—they've always partnered. At the new glasses. You know, they had a big segment just by Disney. But I think it will remain that way. I don't think they will merge in any way.
I like the chat and the chat saying "I Disneyland." I quite like that because that might be what they're thinking. How can we get away with actions? I know, put it in a headset. I don't know. And then Berenix has got, what about DLP's last president? So I presume he means Catherine Powell, who is at Airbnb just now. And Catherine loved Disney. Catherine was fantastic. She was really good when she was at Disneyland Paris. I had a lot of time there. But then I think a lot of people quite like Natasha. I think given, other than the strikes, there's not really any... There's no negativity there other than the whole strike thing, is there?
I don't think so, yeah. But between both, I do kind of like Catherine a bit better. I do think that Natasha is a bit shy and she doesn't, you know, she's not a show woman, as you were saying with Iger. That isn't necessarily bad.
She went to the White House. She leads France's task force. She's at most of the fan events as well. So you've got to give her some credit in the sense that she... But I know what you mean. She doesn't have the stage presence of Catherine Powell or anything. Yeah. I get that. Yeah. But I think both of them have been very good for Disneyland Paris. I think the two of them have been very, very good for Disneyland Paris.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't know if they give them global control, though. I just don't think they would see... I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah.
But I doubt it.
Yeah, and I don't think Powell will return, to be honest. You know, Disney wasn't kind to her. Chapek wasn't kind to her. He pretty much saw her... From what I've heard, he pretty much saw her as competition and just pushed her out of the way. Which isn't something very nice to do.
No.
So, I don't know.
So, do we think that Walt Disney Studios in Paris would ever get the Tower of Terror Guardians retheme that California did? I think we probably will get it, but I really don't think we'll get the same version that's California. And I think that if we did, people would notice how much cheaper our overlay would be. Because California, I mean, people love Mission Breakout,
Yeah.
but I don't think it ever got the. I mean, the cost of it was almost like a brand new attraction. I don't think they ever got the sort of, return on investment that they would have hoped for. I mean, in California, where you're pressed for space, it makes sense to have, if you're only going to have 50 attractions, they try and have the 50 best attractions they can possibly have. Whereas in
Yeah,
Paris,
sure.
I think in Paris, if you were going to add, if you're talking about Walt Disney Studios, are you going to spend, $60 million doing over a ride you already have? Or are you going to build a new £60 million attraction?
Yeah, exactly. I just like Bernick said, I hope not. Because then the new area, the theater district, pretty much relies on that on Tower of Terror. Because if you
Well,
see
that
the theater
basically
district.
confirms that it's going away. If
Yeah. Yeah.
we're relying on it, there we go. It's done. The deal is done to ruin
Yeah. But without it, it's just sad. There's no other ride. You have both theaters and, Studio One. But those are not rides. It needs that to pull guests. At least in my opinion. And our Avengers Campus already has two rides. So I don't think it's a necessity. I don't know.
The other,
Could be wrong
no,
though.
I don't think so. I think the Alice in Wonderland thing is surprising.
Yeah, but that's
And I'm hope,
temporary. That's
yeah, well, I'm hoping we're going to get a Marvel stunt show out there. That makes a lot of sense. It's in the right area. It fits quite well.
it's also the perfect spot for an Avengers Campus expansion, which I do think will eventually happen. A new ride.
Yeah, but they're
But
not gonna.
it's
I mean,
just
that theater costs so much to build. Again, they've got plenty of space they could throw rides in. I think we're gonna get a
Yeah,
stunt show.
I don't
I mean,
know.
look at all the money we spent. How much? In fact, I don't know, but we spent all that money getting the, Avengers show that was in Studio Theater. It wasn't very good, but we spent all that money getting that technical show, and then it got ripped out after a year or two. And it was kind of discarded. So I can only think that they like the idea of Marvel Stunt Show. And it was all rammed, like even though it wasn't very good, it was always full. So I definitely think we're gonna see a Marvel Stunt
You
Show.
know,
They've got a theater
I've been.
outside. Marvel and stunts
Yeah.
just go together.
I completely agree
And
with
then,
you. I think they need to do one. But
so I think.
eventually, when the studio's expansions are close to completion, you have all the lands around the lake. Eventually, a new ride will probably be built there. It's just a real good
Yeah,
spot for one.
it is. It takes up a lot of prime space. I suppose you're right. But that's the other thing we're getting. We're getting the, what is it, Pixar Pals Together Now or some show? What is it?
Yes, I think it's just together a Pixar show or something like that.
Yeah, let me go on and get the name of it. So, disclaimer, although I'm not sure how much a disclaimer is, I was invited to go and see it. But I am not there, so I am busy, so I'll not be able to go. And Bernardo was invited, but he is also busy, so he'll not be going. So I don't know why we're podcasters, given the fact we know absolutely bubkiss. But anyway, here's our opinion anyway. So it's called Together, a Pixar musical adventure.
Nice.
And the invite 70 inside ears with the person of their choice to attend a preview show before its first public performance. And the preview will take place on Thursday, July 13th at
Just next
1:20 p.m. By the way, I should probably have checked this wasn't embargoed before I started reading it. But now that I've announced it, that's what it's going to be. I would imagine when they say before the first public show, I'd imagine the first public show is probably on the 13th as well, probably about 4 o'clock.
No, I don't think so. It's actually, I think it's on the 15th, 2 days after.
Yeah, it'll soft open.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, when we done Ratatouille, when we opened Ratatouille, it soft opened about 4 hours after we got to see it.
Oh, well.
Yeah, so I think there's a good chance you're seeing that show if you're there on the 13th, I'd say. I mean, Disneyland Paris are probably very annoyed that I've just announced the date. But anyway. So yeah, this is apparently going to be not a permanent addition to the theatre, but it certainly, but the amount of advertising that's gone into it and the amount of sort of build-up that's gone into it and the fact it's taken about 9 months to put the show together, I would think this one's staying for a little while.
Yeah, I think so. And it looks good as well. Have you seen the first images that came out from
yeah,
the...
Yeah, it looks, yeah. I think we get Rex as a character for the first time. I think that was what people were saying, is Rex as a character for the first time. So I don't think the show's going to go anywhere very quick. I think we're probably going to have that show for a little while.
Yeah,
we just need to see how it's a good show. Well, if it's a good show, it could be absolutely dreadful. It'll probably be seasonal, I'd think, just because, you know, the Lion King show is also seasonal.
Yeah, and you have Mickey and the Magician also in the same park, so
yeah,
they could maybe, you know, have a mix of both.
And you've got Disney Dream nonsense. What is it? Disney Junior Dream. I can't remember the show now.
The Dream Factory.
That's it. I've only ever seen it once.
Yeah.
Well, if you think you're going to have an Alice in Wonderland, at the same time, you're going to have Disney Dream Factory, Alice in Wonderland, Mickey the Magician, and Pixar together. So,
well, we don't have new rides, but we have new shows. So,
but we're going to have four.
Can we really?
You know, we're going to have all four. Plus, you've got the whole Avengers thing.
Little stunt shows. Yeah.
Talking almost five shows in Disney, and there's Bernix just jumped in the chat to say that. But yeah, you're going to have five shows a day. That's quite a lot. That keeps you kind of busy. And that's probably one of the most. I'm trying to think. What else maybe has five shows?
I don't know.
Well, Hollywood Studios has the Indiana Stunt Show. It has the Citizens of Hollywood. It has Fantasmic. It has. Does it still have Beauty and the Beast? Or is it Frozen?
Frozen? Oh, yeah, Beauty and the Beast as well, I think so, yeah.
And Frozen, so that's five as well. So
Studios also has a Frozen in Art of Animation. You forgot about that one.
Oh, yeah, so it does. So six. Yeah, yeah. God, we've got show. I mean, well, the thing is, there goes anybody that says it's not a full day park. You're now a liar because, you know, the shows, by the time you queue up, see them, and then go to the toilet after them, there's an hour each. So you're at 6 hours. And as long as you do two rides, you know, you're probably knocking on 7 to 8 hours. There you go. It's a full day park. Yeah. There you go. They've decided before the lake comes. Plus, you're going to have a very long walk around the lake shortly, because there's only one land. Like, this lake, like, the image. I think one of the biggest problems they've got is they announced all these places around the lake. And that all these places around the lake don't exist. So when people go and they're going to be like, oh, what's around the lake? It's going to be... There's quite literally just frozen land.
See Frozen getting bigger and bigger for the.
Which only has one ride.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, this is the start, but I tell you what, it's a wee bit. Imagine they had built Epcot's Lake, and there was mind you, there kind of is. Epcot's Lake's kind of tragic too for rides, because once you get one, I mean, if you go around on the right hand side and you walk up through Canada, there's a Circle Vision thing in Canada that's dreadful. There's nothing in the UK. You're then in France, where they now have Ratatouille, but never had it for years.
Hey, you, you had the impressions of France as well, in France.
That was dreadful. Little. That wasn't an attraction. No child went into that and thought that was. I remember the O Canada one because people singing O Canada on Canadian horses or something. Dreadful. American Adventure, which is an amusing. I mean, it's kind of funny because obviously I like the American Adventure too. I love the show, but obviously I'm Scottish or British or what. So we've kind of been taught history slightly differently. Perceive it?
Yeah, it's very American.
Sure. Yeah, like they skip over. It's kind of like, oh, there was a civil war. It was pretty bad. It ended quite quickly. Moving on. Do you know what I mean? Like, they see that, and then it takes until you get round Frozen in the Norwegian pavilion that's kind of pushed in the corner. Like, I feel bad. Like, Frozen has been done dirty. For how big a property Frozen is, how much children. To be that ridiculous little boat ride in Norway is just kind of farcical. And then there's
quickly as possible to capitalize on the IP. So
yeah, it just wasn't good. It was not good. So I don't know. I mean, Disney.
I mean, it's a very similar ride in Paris and in Hong Kong. So yeah. Well.
That's only because I think fans would probably demand better in Florida if they found out that everywhere else got a better Frozen ride. Like, I think the level of upset would be so great.
So
we're getting a Frozen ride and we're getting a meet and greet and we're getting a shop, and I'm pretty sure we'll end up with a restaurant as well because it's France, everything needs a restaurant.
I think it's a restaurant, there's a shop. The Frozen ride and the meet and greet area, right?
Yeah, but they need to open more restaurants in France because when was the last time you tried to get a reservation more than, you know, less than 30 days? Have you tried?
To get a reservation? Yeah, I actually try on the day. Sometimes people just cancel and I can get one. So it's...
No, but I mean a week in advance, 2 weeks in advance, you've no chance. Everything's gone.
For the big ones, yeah. If you have like the steakhouse in Frontierland that nobody goes to, and a couple more, but other than that, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, there's nothing to eat at. I mean, that's one of the oddest things in Disney. The thing that I always find really odd is that I quite like going at the Sequoia Lodge, and you can count all the time that you go to the Sequoia Lodge. You've got two opposing restaurants. But one of them is always closed and the other one's always got a queue out. I always think how much more opened the restaurants.
Yeah. it's a really strange configuration for sure.
It is a very odd setup. You've got the problem in America that they're struggling to fill all these premium restaurants, and in France we just don't have enough of them. People apparently just want to sit and eat. That's all anybody wants to do in France. And now we've got three shows where you can't be sitting and eating because you're watching a show. So we've kind of covered DLP and its expansion. We've spoken about Disney World and how the sort of mess it's in. Epic Universe is due to open, is the next big sort of thing coming to Orlando. Yeah. And then I'm trying to think the other topics that we've spoken about are the Universal's Mediterranean Resort, but that there's not been much on that, has there? Quiet on that.
Yeah, that's true. The rumor mill has been a bit quiet. The public rumor mill, I'll say it like that. No, I've been hearing a lot of stuff, stuff that I just can't confirm. Mm-hmm. But because I don't have the information necessary to do that.
Yeah.
But if just half of that stuff that I have been hearing is true, it won't be how can I say this? It will be okay. Okay, so
yeah.
Things will be fine. I'll just say
the other one. The other one, I think there's a rumor online that Benidorm's Terra Mythica owner is putting their park up for sale.
I mean, Terra Mythica is an awful park. It's a dreadful park when compared to Port Aventura you know, most other parks in Europe. It's just, I mean, it's like a fun park if you're in the beach and you just want to, you know, go ride a couple of coasters, but it's a complete mess. The park has been divided into two, I believe. Some part opens very seasonally and you actually pay per ride. And the other part is an actual park where you only pay the entrance and then you can just join the queues.
So it seems quite likely that rumor could have some truth to it then, that they're getting to the end. Because
it's just so small. There's no room to expand. I don't think so. I don't think Universal wants to even, you know, put their hands on a park like that.
I wasn't thinking Universal. I was thinking Merlin or Lego.
Oh, okay. Okay, that's interesting. I was thinking about Universal.
Well, no. I was thinking, because if you look at Merlin, they don't have, you know, they don't have that many European parks.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, yeah, I could see that happen, actually.
I don't know. I mean, this is not even rumored. It's just I'm speculating that if they're going to sell it, there's not that many people that are going to buy large theme parks. And Terra Mythica is maybe not large, but it's larger than, you know, it's going to cost a little bit to buy that park.
Yeah, I could see that happen, actually. I mean, Merlin, they have... how many parks do they have?
Oh, Merlin have loads.
I think they're the biggest theme park operator in terms
but they include everything. Let me look up Merlin attractions. I mean,
isn't Legoland theirs as well?
Is it not kind of like coned? I think it's.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could
So Legoland. I think Legoland is co-owned. Yeah.
By Merlin.
Well, they're not owned by Merlin. But they're also not fully owned. They share a common owner, which is Kirkby's. No idea. I think it's basically a strategic partnership that says, like, Lego have no idea how to run a theme park, so, you know, you help us out with that. So if you look at Merlin. So the stuff that we'd notice are the UK resorts, which are Alton Towers and Thorpe Park and Chessington World of Adventures. And then in Europe, for the theme parks, they've got Gardaland, which is in Italy, and they've got Heidi Park, which is in Germany. They're both obviously actual theme parks. Then you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. You've got 10 Legolands, 2 Peppa Pigs, and then the rest are not, you know, they're not theme parks, but they're things like Sea Life, like the Sea Life Center in Val d'Europe.
They own that's it. The one in Disneyland Paris, yeah.
I don't know if they own that one. It's not on the list. Is it on the list? They do. I think they do. I think they do own it.
I think so.
Yeah, I think they do. So they've got stuff like that. So if you notice, when we're talking about that, they've got Pan, Legoland, Sichuan, Beijing, Shenzhen, and Belgium. So other than kind of apparently in 2020, Belgium. I think the big thing here is there's no Spanish. There's no. Do you know what I mean? There's no Spanish resort in any of this.
Yeah, that's true.
It just seems like. I don't know. It just seems like there's an opportunity for them.
Oh, yeah, I agree. But if you think about it, Spanish theme parks, the only Spanish theme park that does turn a profit is PortAventura. All of the others just don't.
Yeah, and if PortAventura is tied up with the Universal Group or the Comcast Group, then, you know, Merlin would have to look somewhere else to get their Spanish fix. Although they've done fine without it, so conceivably it's not something they'd have to do. But it did seem to me, if you look at Spanish theme parks, Terra Mítica was certainly the one that stood out as still, you know, privately owned.
Yeah, I don't know who owns Terra Mítica, actually.
I can hear you clicking in the background to look it up, so I'm going to leave it to you to to come up with who the owner is. This is doing live on the podcast some serious results. By the way, you better watch out, guys, because if Bernardo stumbles on something, he's likely to make a video based on what we found tonight. So you've got to live with that. There's Park Warner in Madrid. Park Warner.
Yeah.
So just to
finish, Terra Mítica.
Here he comes.
It's owned by a joint venture between Aqualandia and Mundomar. Aqualandia is a water park located in Benidorm, so just by Terra Mítica. And
it's
Mundomar is a it's an animal theme park also located in Benidorm.
Oh, no. It's saying here that Terra Mítica has a deal with Paramount.
Oh. Okay. That's interesting.
That is, isn't it? Paramount Parks.
It's really interesting.
It is, because I don't think Paramount's got long life to live either.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, because you've got Paramount, which is Canada's Wonderland, Carowinds, Great America.
Interesting.
Terra Mítica, which still sits as a really strange one. But and they obviously shut down the Paramount Parks and gave them a Cedar Fair, if you remember.
But
it's interesting that it was listed under a Paramount Park, I mean, historically, because it suggests that they're not adverse to being owned by a theme park operator rather than Aqualandia, which is obviously its own little company. It's very, very interesting. As I say, we've spent far too long discussing something that may be absolutely nothing. And Terra Mítica is certainly not on the level of DLP or anything, but it's always good to have a little think about what's happening in the wider sort of context, so we understand what environment Disney is operating in. I mean, we do all this Discord podcast, but I think we cover literally any theme park. I mean, if somebody goes to Blackpool Pleasure Beach for the weekend, feel free to discuss it. I'm quite happy.
Yeah, sure.
Like, totally cool for that. So we've got a couple of ideas there. And I'm still convinced that Universal will buy SeaWorld in Orlando and we'll have the, Epic Universe. I'm honestly convinced within a year, two years.
About the SeaWorld. I forgot about something that I wanted to share last time, which is that Universal actually it's not about SeaWorld, but it's about the fourth Universal Park in Orlando. Pretty much they have, the land they bought for Epic Universe is pretty much doubles the total area of Universal. Yeah. So and they have a whole lot more land to fill in. We're talking about, enough space for new hotels and a new theme park. The size of almost Epic Universe, which is a ginormous theme park.
Yeah.
So they could easily have four theme parks built by BEM, not SeaWorld. In the next decade or so, 15 years, because they definitely have the land and, Comcast definitely has the money. So, just something to think about.
It is a terribly exciting time in the sense that you just don't know what's going to happen. The reason I thought they'd buy SeaWorld, not too much to do with land or anything, but more just if you wanted to kind of square up against Disney properly and say, you know, we've got four parks, you've got four parks. The easiest way to do it is not actually to build your extra park. It's just you know, point to it and say, this is it. Yeah, I see what you mean. I see what you mean. There's a lot of space. There is a lot of space that's been carved out for...
Mm-hmm.
By the way, there's a massive traffic jam on the I-4 just now.
That's good to know, yeah.
Yeah, you could fit the entire current Universal Resort into about half of the Epic Universe plot.
No, that's it's absolutely scary. Enormous.
That is kind of scary.
Bernick, he said that Portugal, but I might be a bit biased. Yeah,
Portugal would be wonderful.
We don't talk about Portugal in theme parks. Sorry, I just can't do that right now.
So, why can you not do that? What's upsetting you?
So sad. There's nothing, absolutely nothing at all. But I really don't want to get into that.
We have absolutely nothing in Scotland. I mean, we have this ridiculous little, you know, couple of rides that calls itself a theme park, but we don't have a theme park either. You've got to try. I mean, oddly, it's quicker for me to get to Disneyland Paris than it is for me to get to Alton Towers.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So Disneyland Paris is, and it's probably cheaper too.
Disney did a good job with choosing the perfect location. They just, you know, it was a bumpy start, but it's pretty much central, and it's perfect for a lot of people to get to.
If anybody's wondering who Big Epic Universe could be, the plot of land it's on, you could fit three or four.
you broke up a little bit. I didn't know.
If anybody wonders how big Epic Universe, the land plot they're on, is, you could fit Epcot in there about three or four times.
Oh, wow.
Like, wow. It's massive.
Yeah.
I mean, Epcot's big, but it's big. I mean, they're not going to use all that space. They are doing a... So there's no... It's not a multi-story lot. It's a single lot for the cars. So, you know, they've certainly allowed a little bit of cheapness to crawl in.
Universal will definitely be huge. I mean, they're already huge, but... It's going to be a game changer, actually.
If anybody wants invited to the opening of Epic Universe, I'd suggest just now setting yourself up as a blog or something online, because I think Universal will probably invite the online theme park world to come and preview this park, because a lot of money has been spent on this.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm big on Threads or something.
I'm waiting for my invitation, but
You can't get on Threads, can you? Because you're European.
Yeah, I think so. It's something to have with the European Union.
And the data.
Or data stuff. Yeah, that's they pretty much just won't allow Threads on Apple Store for at least the foreseeable future. So yeah.
How odd. I mean, I'm in Threads. It's basically like a slightly more polished Twitter with no adverts. There's nothing terribly exciting in it, I must say. Everybody's just mirroring the same content, so you see the same tweet as you see the same thread. Like, nobody's been like, I'm Threads only. So that's not happened yet. So we've got a lot of... Because you'd be locked out.
Exactly.
I do wonder, though, obviously you've got Meta powering it, which is, you know, Facebook, WhatsApp, Instagram. Mm. They do have the money and the ability. Kind of Twitter, and they've got 50 million in the...
Yeah, that's true, but I saw that Elon was actually preparing, to go to court because of the new app. So, I don't know.
Was he also threatened Mark Zuckerberg to a cage fight, didn't he? Or something like that.
Yeah, that's true.
Can you imagine Bob Iger and the... I don't even know who the chairman is. Imagine, like, all the settler differences on theme parks. How do you want to do that? Well, let's go and have a cage match in Orlando's conference center. Can you imagine that was how they handled problems?
Yeah, that would be awesome, to be honest. I'd love to see Bob Iger just if podcasts
had thumbnails, that would be our thumbnail for this one. Bob Iger and whoever Universal CEO.
Box match.
That would be it.
Well,
we don't have much. Oh, we do have one last thing to cover, just because I feel like dragging my complaint along the ground. So, my annual pass expires on the 5th of August, and it's now the 7th of July, and I have not had my renewal email. Now, I believe that if I phone, I can renew it. However, it's kind of telling me so that the idea is of...
So let me see if I got this straight. You want to renew or not?
I would like to renew. I'll probably phone them before it expires.
Mm-hmm.
But it's interesting. Yeah. But they are not sending the emails out now to encourage you to renew.
Interesting. Yeah. You know. So we've heard that the new lineup will be announced this month. So July. So could be coming up. I mean, we're in July 7th. So. I don't know, with the new lineup, I don't think it will go into sale, you know, just after it's announced. But, I don't know, actually. Could it happen? You know, they announce and just start a sale right after?
They usually do. So when they move from the when they moved from the last set, it was the same day.
Oh, wow.
Okay. So I would think so.
Yeah, that's interesting. Okay, so I mean,
if it relies on the app, no, it won't work. But
oh yeah, good point. Good point. But I would renew if I were you. You know, just as soon as possible.
Just get it done.
Yeah, just get it done, and it's gonna be, you know, a lot more money to get the same or less perks. So I would just, you know, go for it, to be honest.
There we go. You've convinced me. we obviously have no New Year. We don't have a New Year's Eve party either, do we?
No, we don't.
So the parties have been cancelled.
Yeah, it's just gonna be a normal operating day with a show.
I guess they've kind of put two and two together and thought people will be here for New Year's anyway, so meh.
I guess so, but you know, why not make money? I just don't understand.
I don't understand it either. However, there is going to be one piece of news I suppose we should share is Bastille Day? Yes.
Bastille Day, yeah.
Yeah, Bastille Day, 14th July. And on Bastille Day, I'm going to read this out. Joining the celebrations for France's National Day this 14th July with a show in Disneyland Park that's more magical than ever. Straight after dreams, get ready to be amazed by dazzling fireworks disappear and a spectacular drone choreography never before seen at Disneyland Paris. Celebrate the beloved Disney and Pixar classics with a French touch, including Beauty and the Beast and Ratatouille. What better moment to sing and dance? After all, well, this is France. and then it has a big disclaimer because I think they're really worried about it getting called off by strike. However, the visuals for this party, which they've sent out lots of visuals for once, is actually the drone seems to be taking the shape of French monuments. So you've got the Arc de Triomphe, you've got the Eiffel Tower, you've got the...
I think it's Sacré Cœur, no?
Yeah, possibly. So you've got all that. You've got the cathedral as well. So you've got that, and they show them as high. So the fireworks look like... And they do have an exception on that night to loud fireworks. So they are. So I think there will be noise. And the artwork is very specific projection. So I think that this show, unlike the Wishes show that they done for New Year last year. I think this one is going to be and high level noise. So I think it'll be very exciting. Yeah. And if you're there.
Last year's show was absolutely amazing. They also had the drones take the shape of the Eiffel Tower, and I think the glass of the Notre Dame. So that was amazing. That show was absolutely mind-blowing. So if they improve on that, I think it's going to be a hell of a show.
Well, that was announced today, which is a bit late, I guess, given that it's in 7 days.
But I mean, it's a busy time. They don't need more people, right? So why not announce it, you know, right now? The parks are going to be busy either way, so.
That is true. So that's kind of it. I don't know. Do you have anything else you want to bring to the table?
I don't think so. I think we've covered pretty much everything we wanted to cover.
Well, everybody who's listening along live, please chuck your final comments in the chat, because otherwise we are about to log out. I was thinking about something you said the other day about night parades and Fantasmic, and I'm now more convinced than ever that Fantasmic is coming to that great big lake. Like, I am convinced. And I don't know why.
Yeah.
But I've upgraded my hopefulness to now fairly convinced that Fantasmic's coming to that lake.
Yeah, I don't know if it will be Fantasmic, but, you know, I don't know. I think it will be
Fantasmic.
You think
I'm
so?
I'm pretty sure. Fantasmic's one of the only shows that has perpetuality at Disney. It's one of the, you know, they bring it back. Everybody loves it. I mean, realistically, people are going to Disney. People want to see Mickey Mouse fight a dragon, good conquers evil, all that sort of rubbish. And I see, amusingly, Mickey Mouse in the chat, which there's kind of a whole funniness there to Mickey Mouse saying, I doubt Fantasmic will come, because Mickey Mouse obviously has to fight the dragon every night in Disneyland and Disney World. But, I mean, the dragon can't really catch that much fire in the middle. I mean, realistically, nobody's in any worst case scenario, it topples across it.
Yeah, and let's remember that if the rumors are true that Disneyland Paris bought the barges from Tokyo, which had been rumors, you know, long-running rumors. If that happens, you know, if it is Fantasmic, which I'm not entirely convinced, if it is, you know, Tokyo has their own different dragon that operates. It's completely different to either Orlando or Anaheim.
A drone dragon. We'll just get a drone dragon.
Oh, yeah. Those patents were absolutely amazing with the big puppets in the sky with the drones. That could
I actually think we'd get a drone dragon. I think that would probably be the way they do it. Berenix has put, he thinks it will be World of Color. However, World of Color requires an articulated fountain barge thing. And as far as I'm aware...
It is. We don't have that yet. They're installing something in the middle of the lake. But it's only
at one side, though. I mean, if you look, the square is off to the right. Like, World of Color would need to have... There is going to be fountains. Yeah. I mean, they can't have a lake without fountains, but you're not going to... I don't think you're going to get World of Color. World of Color requires an awful lot of money and an awful lot of articulated barges that they just don't have. That said, World of Color is one of the few shows that actually probably costs very little to run once you've installed it, because it's really just color and water.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. It's just lights and water. There's and you know, music, but that's pretty much it.
I would rather Fantasmic than World of Color, but I'd take either. I'd be happy with either.
Yeah, I prefer Fantasmic, to be honest. But yeah, I agree. Any of those are unwelcomed.
And then if they give me a light parade, you know, if we could get a nighttime light parade, which doesn't even really need to be that different to the day parade, just with some, you know, lights chucked on it. Yeah. I mean, that would make me happy. I'd be very, very happy if we could just have a light parade.
You really
parade.
Want that night parade.
Well, I mean, just put out the Main Street Electrical Parade again, or put out, I mean, I don't even need a new one. Like, it doesn't even need to be 20 floats long. It could just be a 5-float or a 4-float cavalcade. That would satisfy me. You know, send out the Casey Jr. train and send out 4 or 5 floats, and there you go. That would be me fully satisfied for a light cavalcade. The Main Street Electrical Rapid Parade.
The Main Street light from like light.
Parade. Yeah, that'd be great. The light parade. You've got Tokyo Dream Lights, and now you've got light lights in Paris. I quite like that. I mean, Disney Stars and Parade, but then the thing that tells me we won't be getting it is Disney Stars on Parade has been going for like 300 years and it's nearly dead. Yeah, I mean, that parade,
completely, it's just sad.
Isn't it?
Parts of the floats are just missing. You know, it's just time to retire it.
It's time to retire Stars and Parade. And then the other one is, you know, Dream and Shine Brighter, the parade, the although we shouldn't really call it Dream and Shine Brighter because everybody ready for the ride. Its floats are dreadful, but the parade, the dancer,
makes
up for what is a dreadful parade.
Oh, we didn't talk about something that I think could be interesting. What's your opinion on the new Nautilus?
I don't care.
Come on.
I'm one of the few people I was on the Nautilus, 2012 or something, and it was original. It was still rubbish. It was rubbish then. It's rubbish now. It's nice they've done it over. People are very, very upset about a ride that nobody goes on. You know, it's a nice walkthrough. Well, it's a walkthrough shuffle attraction. I mean, it's nice to get out of the rain. It's nice heat sometimes for some air conditioning. Fun to walk through. I have no real opinion. It wasn't as bad as Pizza Planet was. Like, tragic and had to go. Which is a shame because the actual concept of buffet could probably do quite well, and the Pizza Planet theme is a wonderful theme, and I'm really sad that instead we, you know, the cheapest pasta and pizza known to man. But the Nautilus, I'm not that bothered. Are you bothered? Is it a big one for you?
I mean, it's not, but it's just sad to see, you know, good theming be changed and replaced by screens, you know.
You're only up. You're only upset about that with the other three people that are upset about that. Nobody, there's no, like, the people who booked Disneyland Paris with their kids don't.
Oh yeah, no, completely. Yeah. I completely agree. I'm in the minority. But yeah, it's just kind of sad.
I mean, if you renamed it Ocean Gate Titan Explorations, it would probably. I mean, the Nautilus, the submarine that went missing looking for the has a bigger following than, you know, 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea.
I mean, 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea is getting its own Disney Plus show. So, I don't know. We could see some changes, you know.
There's a lot of things that get their own Disney Plus show that aren't very good.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Disney Plus for a minute. You've just I know I just said we'll finish, but one last kind of thing on the subject of Disney Plus. They've started to say that they're gonna and they've already started, actually. They're putting content back in the is that about?
I don't know. I think they took out content because they would, you know, save money. No, we talked about this last time. It's because of they need to pay for, you know, to keep that on storage, and just it's costly to have that much content, you know. I think so, at least. That's why they do it.
I was really excited. I always thought there'd be a wee bit of consolidation. I thought Disney Plus and Netflix, that'll be my two. Oh no, it's all gone wrong. I wish Disney would buy Star Trek. That's quite annoying. I wish Disney would buy Star Trek. That would be nice. or Universal or Comcast, or, you know, I hear Paramount's going away, so they don't have any money left to fight, so anyway, in the absence of any more topics for this week or this, I don't know how often we do these, every 2 weeks or something, it seems, recently. This has been number 4, though, so thank you very much to everybody for listening in. That has been the Disney Discord podcast, episode 4. I've been Graham, and you have been
Bernardo.
And we will see you again on the next show. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.